Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Millwall captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Millwall are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay and Buster will look back in games against Ross County and Dundee. We'll look ahead to Saturday's meeting with St Johnstone. We'll also discuss the build-up to the Scottish Cup final and possibly have a lengthy debate on Neil McCann as well. How's it going, guys?
Not too bad.
Good, thank you.
Good stuff. Well, Jay, I'll start with yourself and we'll go back a week and a half of it to the Ross County game, a 0-0 draw. I know you weren't actually there either. I think it's fair to say that we can skim over this one pretty quickly.
I literally have nothing to say. I wasn't at the game. I've no watched the highlights, and it sounded terrible. That's all I've got to say on it.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, I'll just add my similar views. Wasn't there, didn't watch the highlight, heard it was terrible, but a clean sheet. So, there you go.
Yeah, I suppose when you're up against a team, Buster, fighting for their lives, to go there, a place that's traditionally a difficult place to go and come away with a point, given that we are in a position of relative comfort. Of course, we did go on to confirm our status in the top flight for next season, and I don't think it was ever in very much doubt. But to go there when the pressure's off and still put in a battling performance and come away with a clean sheet, that's certainly got to be regarded as a positive.
No, yeah. As I say, you know, I don't know much about the game. You know, sort of kept my eye on it. Nothing seemed to happen. People who were there were saying it was pretty boring as well. But did you say, you know, being in the bottom six, being sort of, you know, seventh basically at the moment as we are, coming up against these teams, they're all got something to fight for, bar maybe St Johnstone. You know, maybe just a battle per position between us and them, but you know, everybody else in the bottom six is basically, you know, trying to ensure that they remain in division. So we're always going to be coming against these teams who are looking to battle hard, and you know, as I say, to come up with a clean sheet, they're pretty decent. So yeah, I think that's maybe the one positive we can take from it.
Battle hard is something that they certainly did, Ross County, Jay. Injuries to Andy Rose, Karen McHugh lost a couple of teeth, Curtis Main, there was a worrying point with his injury to his wrist, but thankfully it wasn't as bad as first feared, so we certainly had to go to war with them to a certain extent, and it is disappointing as we lead up to the cup final to be another couple of men down at a time where we can ill afford to be losing players to injuries.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, you know, a negative from the county game. Buster mentions the positive about the clean sheet, but, you know, those kind of injuries, particularly Andy Rose, who now it seems as though it's going to be a race against time to get him fit for the final. You know, it's not ideal. And it just kind of shows you, you know, we've got this reputation of being the team of thugs, you know, presumably from folk who have never actually watched us. You know, the team of thugs in the division, and yet we're the ones, you know, as you say, losing teeth, collarbone injuries, fractured wrists. You know, let's be honest, if Brendan Rodgers had taken a side to Ross County and got the injuries we did, it would have been all over the papers, and it would have been, you know, highlighting just how physical Ross County had been. It just shows you, you know, how different teams get treated. But it's part and parcel of the game. You know, you've got two choices now that we're safe. You either, you know, wrap players in cotton wool, don't play your strongest 11, rest players and kind of pussyfoot around the last few games, which could be argued as what Stuart McCall did in 2011, and we all know how the final went that season. So I would much rather we, you know, play our strongest side, get tore right in, do what we do best, and just keep your fingers crossed that we can get to the final with everybody fit.
And then we move on to Saturday's win over Dundee at Fir Park, coming back from a goal behind to record a very impressive victory. The highlight, without a doubt, was the first goal of Cedric Keeper's career, his first goal at Motherwell, obviously, as well. The scenes that celebrated that buster were quite magnificent. It was a great moment for Cedric, although my only reservation about that is I was hoping he was going to save it for the last minute of the cup final and the winning goal.
Aye, if only. No, it was great to see Cedric, you know, get his goal there. I think everybody's been, you know, since he came in, he's been, you know, a revelation. Basically, I think everybody's been wanting him to get on the end of one of these corners or whatever, and you know, get that goal basically. But as you say, I thought it was a pretty comfortable performance on Saturday. There was maybe a wee bit of worry when we went one down, but you know, we battled back brilliantly. Brian Bowman, yeah, scored obviously their goal. I think it was Charles Dunn who knocked it back across the goals, and Brian Bowman stuck his head in the way and scored the goal. That was after he, you know, hit the post and then hit the goalkeeper in half a second with two headers as well. But no, I was a bit surprised Dundee weren't a bit more. I don't want to say urgent, but you know, I was a bit surprised they weren't a bit more. There was a bit more effort from them. The stats of the match, you know, they looked pretty. Pretty even really. Dundee maybe had a wee bit more attempts and goal, but I thought they'd be a bit better. Again, as I mentioned, you know, these teams are coming, actually having to play for something, you know, because if they'd have got 3 points against us, that would be basically a weak team, a wee bit away from the crowd down there. But you know, anything that keeps Neil McCann moaning is good by me.
Yeah, and McCann certainly grabbed the headlines, didn't he, Jay? The post-match interview where he's basically crying over how dominant Dundee were, which I don't know what game he was at, but it certainly wasn't the same one as I was at. The very bitter post-match interview from Neil McCann, and not really the first time we've seen it from him. You look at the stats over the course of the season, that's the fourth time we've recorded a victory over Dundee. We've knocked him out the Scottish Cup. You can understand why he's not got very much time for Motherwell, but it doesn't change the fact that his team have failed to beat Motherwell in the now five occasions that they've played. Yeah, it seems like he's very much crying over spilt milk there.
Well, that's what he does. I mean, it's not just Motherwell, just practically any time you watch sports or hear him on the radio or whatever it is, he's always moaning. I genuinely don't remember, certainly in my lifetime, you know, Jim Jefferies was mentioned on Twitter when I said this, but I genuinely think he's the moaniest manager I've ever experienced in Scottish football. If I was a Dundee fan, I would be genuinely embarrassed with Neil McCann's post-match interviews. They're incredible. You know, I've never, ever seen a manager just whinge as much as he does. It's just, you know, you think somebody would have a word, you know, somebody at Dundee would maybe take him aside and go, right, look, you're a bit of a laughing stock of Scottish football here. Everybody just knows that you moan and moan and moan. Get a rest, you know, every now and then. So there was absolutely nothing surprising about his post-match interview. Literally anything could have happened in the 90 minutes at Fir Park, and Neil McCann would have still came out afterwards and moaned about it. Basically, you know, there's a couple of certainties in Scottish football. Whenever there's a full card of Scottish football matches, there's a few certainties. You know, Scott Sinclair will dive somewhere, Alfredo Morelos will miss a sitter somewhere, and Neil McCann will just whinge and whinge in a post-match interview somewhere. It's embarrassing. And it does him and his team absolutely no favours. I don't think Dundee were particularly... I thought overall it wasn't the best game. I didn't think Dundee were particularly poor. They created chances. In fact, they probably could have scored after about 10 seconds on Saturday, and it would have been interesting to see how the game had panned out from there. But rather than coming out, you know, his team are still in a relegation battle. His team are still, you know, getting into these last few games, you know, needing to be confident and needing to be up for it. And it would do his team probably a lot more favours to come out and identify some of the positives of his own team rather than just spending every single time that there's a camera pointed in his face or a microphone put in front of him. You know, it's just whinging. And when you actually, you know, compare the way Neil McCann conducts himself in the press with someone like Stephen Robinson, who's just utter class, you know, I would be genuinely embarrassed if I was a Dundee fan.
It's brilliant. It's one of my...
Sorry.
I was just going to say, it's one of my favourite things, watching sports scene on a Sunday night, just waiting for Neil McCann's interview.
It's strange, though, as someone that's had a career in the media as well. Like, many years he was on as a pundit in Sky Sports. So you would think that he would be a bit more savvy than he is. As Jim rightfully pointed out, he's just making himself look like a bit of a tit.
Definitely. The one with Tommy Wright the other week was absolutely sensational. I'm not talking to that man. He's not welcome here.
That man chat that Arsene Wenger and Jose Mourinho, it was Arsene Wenger and Sir Alex Ferguson, and Wenger referred to him as that man, and it's almost as if he's taking a shine to impressions as well. It's just such petty behaviour, and it just makes him look so embarrassing.
He's a petulant wee boy. That's just the way it comes across. Like, it doesn't even come across as, you know, passionate or, you know, that kind of heat in the moment. He just comes across as, you know, petty lip in the huff all the time. And as I said, I mean, I don't know what Dundee fans feel about it, but I would genuinely cringe every time my manager was on the telly if I had to put up with it.
Yeah, it certainly didn't come out it looking very well. And I mean, actually, I thought Paul McGowan came across, who doesn't tend to come across very well at the best of times, but his antics after the game are befitting of someone that's playing under a manager like that, because he had absolutely spat the dummy. Gael Big-Romana could barely control his laughter as McGowan tried to run after him and kick him every time he had the ball. Or sometimes when he didn't have the ball. Yeah, it was quite a satisfying victory over Dundee, just due to the personnel that they've got on board. And as Buster pointed out, they didn't really have that urgency you would link with a team that are battling to certainly avoid the relegation playoff place. So it'll be an interesting couple of weeks for McCann, and he can greet and win jolly likes, but the fact of the matter is his team need to pick up a few points if they're going to avoid that playoff and the potential of them playing their closest rivals in a playoff final would be certainly quite a tasty one, and a real test of McCann's mentality given how weak minded he seems to be just now.
Well, that's exactly it. You say that Jay summed up well when he says the game was, you know, pretty poor. Dundee could have scored, you know, maybe more goals, and Neil McCann, actually, to give him a bit of credit, said the problem was their finishing, although he actually thought they were fantastic. So again, I don't know what game he was watching there, but you know, I thought they were considerably poor for a team who, you know, basically have, you know, their livelihood to play for, basically. So as you say, it'll be interesting to see if they end up in those positions and, you know, see what happens with the championship playoffs.
Yeah, they begin this week with Dunfermline against Dundee United, so it'll be interesting to see. It always is. The playoffs always throw up a fair bit of drama and a good viewing, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes. On to Saturday, and St Johnstone are the visitors to Fir Park. It's quite a nice wee run of home games we've got, actually, and Saturday 3 o'clock. This will be the second of three. St Johnstone, Jay, they're sitting pretty comfortable on the table themselves. it's very much a battle between us and them for that seventh spot. I know that the finishing in the top six was the aim after a very good start to the league season. Yes, we fell just short of that, but I think the message from the club and the manager certainly has been, right, okay, we missed out narrowly, but let's make sure we secure that seventh spot. And a victory on Saturday would be us pretty much there in terms of that. So it's a big game in terms of getting that few extra £100,000 in the bank for league placing. Other than that, both teams are safe. It possibly won't be the most intense battle, but again, one that serves as part of the build up to the Scottish Cup final. The players will want to achieve that seventh spot. Hopefully it makes for a half decent spectacle.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two points to the game. Obviously, there is the seventh place battle, and you want to be, top of the pile. If you're going to be bottom six, then the very least, you want to be seventh. You want to be the best side in that bottom six. Being able to beat St Johnstone on Saturday would go a long way to securing that. But also, I think, as I said earlier, the idea that, we've got the cup final coming up. Everybody's obviously focused on that now. Tickets are selling. And it's important to get a good run of form, both in terms of performances and results going into that game. We all know what happened under McCall after the split. In fact, I think it was on the radio, I heard it was mentioned that Stephen Robinson had kind of already researched that and had come out and said that, Motherwell, when they were last in the cup final, when you look at their form and their results after the split and then how the final itself went, that's not what we want to be doing this time around, which I was actually quite impressed with, that Robinson's even, researching into our last cup final to kind of see what mistakes he can kind of pick up on and what he can learn for that. So that was encouraging. So I think it's important, if we want to go into that cup final full of confidence and on a good roll and on a good run of form, then, let's go into it unbeaten after the split. So I'd be looking to win. If we can take seven or 9 points out of these last three games, I think that would be perfect, and I think you'd be going into that final full of confidence, full of with that momentum that you've got. So I think it's all very well to kind of think, Motherwell and St Johnstone are safe, and yeah, it'd be nice to finish seventh, but it's not that big a big deal for me. I think it is. I think when you're going into play against a team like Celtic in the cup final, then you're going to need all the help you can get, and I think it would be a massive help to go into that game on a good run of form. So for me, Saturday is part of our cup final preparations, and I'd like to see us go out, put in a good performance and get the 3 points and secure seventh.
Yeah, that's it, Buster, isn't it? You look at the team on Saturday, certainly no sweeping changes to it. There's still a few doubts over certain positions in terms of who'll get the nod on the 19th of May. There was also a chance for young James Scott as well, who came off the bench for Ryan Bowman, who later found out just got a bit of a kick and it was a precaution to take him off. Certainly think it was the right move, mind you, because it looked like he could barely walk, never mind run about that park after the injury. For me, Scott maybe struggled a wee bit with the physicality of the game, but certainly it is good to see the young guys get a chance, and hopefully between now and the end of the season there will be a chance for a couple of the young guys to come in and show what they're worth. That is one of the advantages of being safe and not having to worry about any issues at the bottom of the table, that you can bring in some fresh blood and try them out. Yes, some of them will swim, some of them will struggle, and maybe it'll become clear to the manager and Stephen Craigan with under-20s that these guys need a wee bit more time in the youth game before they'll be ready for first team. But it's one of these ones you'll never know unless you try.
No, I think that's it. I'm a big fan or a big advocate of, if you think they're good enough, get them in there. As I said before, some of our best players were thrown into the deep end, and McFadden, Pearson, or even guys like Stevie Hamill and stuff like that as well come on when they were youngsters. I think there's a whole sort of thing that Jay just mentioned there as well. You know, you don't want to be chopping and changing and harsing about with the lineup and stuff. And I don't think that will happen. But with Nadir Chifty obviously not being available for the selection in the final, I think there's a good chance you'll see, you know, maybe James Scott or whoever else in about the bench and maybe getting 10, 20 minutes here and there, because I don't know how severe Chief Cheese, I know he was only back in training Thursday or Friday or something, but I don't know how severe his injury was. But when you seen Bowman, hobbling, you were thinking they'll probably bring on Chief Cheese here. But, you know, they went straight to James Scott, which was fair enough. And as you see, he maybe throwing it at the deep end, as you say, maybe a wee bit of a struggle there, but you know, you can only get better, I suppose, and you'll be a bit more used to playing against the men rather than, you know, the boys, is again is something we've touched on with the Unders League as well. But I'm looking forward to it. I don't follow the 20s or anything at all, to be honest with you. You know, I'm usually at work and whatever, but I like to check up on the results and Twitter and things like that and watch the odd highlights here and there. And there certainly looks like there's a good few players scoring a good few goals, so it'll be interesting to see who gets the nod there, whether it be somebody like James Scott or whether it be maybe Petr, a competition winner or somebody like that, you know.
We talked about Stephen Robinson a bit earlier on, the Manager of the Year and Player of the Year awards, the league's one, were held last night. Stephen Robinson, Jay, not nominated for Manager of the Year. Certainly, I think the four managers that were nominated and the winner, Jack Ross, were all very much worthy candidates for the role. Stephen Robinson, mind you, if he wins the Scottish Cup, I think it would be very hard to argue that he's not, they wouldn't deserve to be certainly in the discussion for Manager of the Year. These awards happening a couple of weeks before the conclusion of the season, it sometimes doesn't allow for kind of objective nominations for me, because you don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. For all, I think Neil Lennon's done a fantastic job at Hibs, but they lose the last couple of games, they end up fourth, they don't qualify for Europe, they've not had a success in the Cups. Does that constitute a nomination for Manager of the Year? I'm not quite sure. Jack Ross has obviously won the league with St Mirren. Their season is now finished. I completely get that one. Brendan Rodgers was well on the way to wrapping up the double when the nominations were announced. Again, very hard to argue that he shouldn't have been nominated there as well. Steve Clarke, a great job at Kilmarnock, a real turnaround there. But again, they're now two defeats in the spin. They'll finish sixth in the table, it looks almost certain of that. Is it more than what Stephen Robinson's done? Again, a question mark there. So I think the announcing these awards early is one of the major drawbacks. I know the Football Writers, they have their awards night on the 12th, the 13th, which is the last day of the season. But even then, I would imagine their votes have been cast 2-3 weeks beforehand. So it doesn't really, you don't get to see the bigger picture by doing them ahead of the conclusion of the season, I suppose.
Yeah, that's always the big issue with these kind of things. The one that always, I think, the most laughable is the fact that, you know, Kieran Tierney wins goal of the season. And there's still, you know, a lot of football to be played. There is still the potential for somebody to score an absolute beauty that is, you know, far beyond what Kieran Tierney did, and yet they don't win goal of the season because they voted for it weeks before the end of the league campaign. It's a bit daft. Funnily enough, that was it came up on Off the Ball on Saturday night, and I think it was Billy Dodds was on. I think it was Billy Dodds, and I think he. I think he said that, as far as he's aware, the main reason that this particular event takes place when it does is because so many of the players go on holiday at the end of the season. That was the reason. That as far as he's aware, the reason that it happens early is because players piss off on the holidays at the end of the season. And so to make sure that they can all be there and the winners can accept the rewards, they have to do it, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before the end of the season. That's just daft. I mean, I couldn't care less whether Scott Brown's there to pick up his award or not. If he's the player of the year, then it should be over the year, not, you know, 95% of the season. So yeah, you're spot on. And I don't think anybody, you know, can defend that. I don't think anybody has any logical reason why you would pick goal of the season and you know, your manager, player and young player of the year, but with still so much football to go. In terms of Stephen Robinson, it's a difficult one because of when they're voting for it. At the end of the day, the managers you've mentioned, although it could be debatable, say Steve Clarke, it could be debated whether what Steve Clarke's achieved is any more than Stephen Robinson. However, that's concrete. You know, they're in the top six. Whereas if we lose on the 19th of May, it's a good season. You know, we've made it to two finals. You know, perhaps finish seventh. But is that worthy of manager of the year? Probably not. If we win the cup, however, then I would argue that Stephen Robinson is right up there. And of course, you're not going to know that until the 19th of May. So the very fact that the awards take place when they do means that you can almost write off the Scottish Cup. A manager winning the Scottish Cup has absolutely no impact on whether they win manager of the year, because it simply can't, because the voting takes place so far, you know, before the final. So yeah, it's a massive, massive error. And to be honest, it kind of detracts from the awards themselves, because people, you know, this always comes up whenever it's mentioned about these awards. This always comes up, so it almost lessens the award. You know, it almost kind of knocks it down a little bit. It's not as prestigious as it possibly could be if they dish them out at the end of the season. And if someday, if, you know, if Kieran Tierney needs to, you know, Skype from you know, a Tenerife to pick up his award because it's, you know, the end of May or the start of June, then fine. But if Billy Dodge is correct that the only whole, you know, the whole thing has to happen, you know, on Sunday there because the players might go on holiday, then it just makes it all quite farcical.
See, just on that as well, I don't know how true it actually is, but on the night of the awards, I was reading there was actually no Celtic players there.
No, that's not right. There was no Rangers players.
I don't think there was either somebody like Hearts or Hibs who didn't go as well. You know, so the whole point of being at this point, and again, to be fair to Jay and Billy Dodds as well, then I think that's exactly what.
That's
a line I never thought I would hear. To be fair to the two of them, I think that was my thoughts as well. They hold it at this point because, you know, some players might only get 2 weeks off, depending on, you know, where they finish the league and when they have to start their European qualifying games or whatever. But again, as I say, I read on, I think it was on Twitter, that there was no Celtic players, there was no Rangers players, there was no, again, maybe didn't discredit the Hearts or Hibs or Aberdeen, but there was, you know, it was somebody like that. There was none of their players there either. And you know, I thought, what's the point? And I think what you said there, Sparrow, as well, and you as well, Jay, I suppose, if come the end of the season, Stevie Robinson has won the Scottish Cup, you know, why is he not even to be not even considered at that point? Would be a bit harsh. Right now, I actually kind of agree that he's maybe not worthy of consideration. Because, you know, as you say, with the cups, it proves a point as well as to how important a good cup run is. Because our league form up until what, December, was fantastic. And we were flying high at times. I think we were as high as fourth at one point as well. Since then, it's been ropey as shit, and the only thing that's really sort of kept us in high spirits, I would say, would be the, you know, the cup runs. Obviously, the League Cup run was done by then, but December was absolutely morbid. You know, terrible results for us in December. Come January, the cup starts again. We're picking up the odd win in the league. I think we've only won maybe 4 or 5 games since December, basically. I'd have to check that, to be fair, but I think I read somewhere it's about 4 or 5 games. But it just goes to show how important to the fans as well the cup runs can be, because if we'd been pumped to it in that first round against, again, it was Hamilton, wasn't it, just after the winter break, if we'd been pumped to it against Hamilton there, we'd be sitting here maybe, you know, 4 or 5 wins since December, whatever it is, and probably no feeling as, you know, as high as we do. So I kind of agree at the moment that, you know, Robinson, at this point in time right now, maybe he's no up there, maybe no worth a consideration. Don't be wrong, I'm not suggesting he's not done a fantastic job, because I think he has, and as Jason as well, he presents himself brilliantly as well. But come the end of the season, if we win that Scottish Cup, I think it highlights how mad it is to have these awards at this point in time. And again, even our own awards, we dished out the top goal scorer award to Craig Tanner. You know, and I think Ryan Bowman's either there or thereabouts with him. You know, Curtis Main's probably there or thereabouts with him as well, I think, because it was only some 8 or 9 goals he had. So it's a bit mad having all these awards at these times. But again, it really is basically because the players will go on holiday the day after the season finishes. I think the year we were in the playoff, might even have been Lee Irwin, I think, was moaning about the fact all his pals had jetted off to Ibiza, whereas he was having to stay here and do his job. You know, so it's just one of those things, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any doubt that the players are obviously... I know Jay had mentioned he doesn't care if Scott Brown's there to pick up his award, but I suppose for the sake of sponsorship and things like that, these guys are the faces, and they're certainly the people that want to be there to... They want the players on hand, but again, you can turn it round and say, well, he wasn't there last night, and the Rangers had their own awards due. That must have been an absolute hoot, that. The Celtic away to Tenerife. So, I think there's...
Is that the reason that Celtic won, because they're away to Tenerife?
Yeah, I don't know what the...
Fuck's sake.
I don't know whether it was some sort of reward or... But yeah, Celtic are away to Tenerife. Hopefully they stay there for about 4 weeks and have bevy every night, and then that'll be ideal preparation for us playing them in the 19th. But
somebody spikes their bills.
there's only so many times that I can talk about or slip in the Scottish Cup final without actually talking about it properly, and we'll do that to finish up. The tickets went on sale last Friday, Jay, and I know myself, I spent a couple of hours in a very lengthy queue. There's a clear buzz about this fixture. There was always going to be, of course. The arrangements, I thought the club handled very well. They've taken an initial allocation, which will go up to, it's a maximum of 15,000. Some will go back to Celtic if we've not sold X amount by, I think it's the 4th of May or the 5th of May. Seems very wise. It'll ensure that Hampden's packed out for a showpiece event. Let's hope that the people of Motherwell and surrounding areas are out in force to back the team, and we don't have to send any additional tickets to Celtic. As much claret and amber and at Hampden, the better, as far as I'm concerned. And it seems like, well, certainly from my experience on Friday and seeing the queues again on Saturday before the game, that the fans are definitely coming out to get behind the team. It's not a cheap game to follow, and it tends to be the case that people take relatives and people that perhaps don't go as often for these big games. So it's expensive, but it does seem like the fans are showing their commitment to the cause already.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think it is. It's a sensible approach in terms of the ticket allocation. You know, there's no point in... I know that when we get into the final, there's tweets and stuff about, oh, I hope the club ask for 50% and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the days of managing to get, you know, 25,000-30,000 Motherwell fans to Hampden for a cup final are long, long gone. I think 15,000 is about the ceiling as far as that's concerned. And hopefully we do sell, you know, our entire allocation and don't need to send any back. But again, I think it's a sensible idea. We all want Hampden to be full. If that means, you know, 12,000 Motherwell fans, then so be it. As long as we've got the chance to sell 15,000, then that's all we can ask for. But it'd be great if we're not sending any back. If we can sell out, you know, the 15,000, that'd be perfect. And, you know, there is a buzz. I think, you know, don't want to talk about the League Cup as too less of a competition, but it is, you know, it's kind of deemed as a lesser competition. So there'll be a bigger buzz now because it's the Scottish Cup and the history that goes with that. You know, there'll no doubt be, I've seen stuff on Facebook, social media about, you know, the bunting going up and shop windows and pubs and all that kind of thing. So it is, it's a special thing. It'll be interesting to see if there's events the night before, you know, like there was in 2011. So yeah, it's just one of the, it's something to look forward to, particularly for Motherwell fans. You know, Celtic fans will never quite grasp just what this kind of thing actually means to the likes of us who support Motherwell. So yeah, it will just be, I imagine the whole town will be absolutely rocking in the build up to it, and hopefully it will be rocking afterwards as well.
Buster, yesterday Celtic, I suppose, reminded us of the quality they have and the absolute demolition of Rangers. I don't think it's in any doubt how good a side this Celtic team are, but and as I've mentioned before in the podcast, they do seem a bit more gettable this season than they were last season. We have come up against them and performed very well, with the exception of the meeting at Celtic Park. It's hard not to look at Celtic beating Rangers 5-0 while failing to score in the last 40 minutes and not be very impressed. But I suppose we've got to concentrate on our own selves for now and just finish the season on a high and deal with Celtic in the week leading up to the game.
No, that's it. Again, I watched the highlights later on, so it just made me, it made me think about how much the couple of weeks before I was wishing so hard that Rangers actually beat Celtic. Usually I don't really care, or depending on who's annoyed me the most recently, I would think, I hope they get pumped. But that semi-final between the two of them, I desperately wanted Rangers to somehow sneak it, because they're utter shite. They're so bad it's unreal. But as you say, we've got Celtic to play, so I think we just have to go out and do what we do. I think, to be fair, we're going to absolutely try and shitfest it for the first half hour or whatever it'll be. Again, just get in their faces, try and noise them up, hit them on the break if need be. But it's, as you say, that we're massive underdogs. I don't think MD would doubt that we're massive underdogs. But you know, there's times this season where, although you said it's hard to watch them yesterday and not be impressed with them, there's times this season where I've watched them and thought they were shite as well, to be honest with you. So, as you say, they are gettable. They certainly seem a lot more gettable than they were maybe last year or the year before or whatever. But for anyone to think we're anything other than massive underdogs is maybe a bit of a daydream. But you know, it's definitely not something I'm getting near thinking we're going to lose.
Do you think, Jay, that just served as a wee reminder? I think at times Celtic are maybe taken for granted somewhat because they were the team that were the Invincibles last season. They won the treble, they've won the league again this season. Clearly a fantastic side. It was always going to be a huge ask to go this season undefeated, and teams have, including themselves, taken points off them. Kilmarnock have beaten them, Hibs have beaten them, Hearts beat them very, very convincingly. So, I think that's maybe take a wee bit of the shine and the cloak of invincibility off them somewhat. But performances like yesterday remind you that Celtic team is very, very strong and possesses a lot of quality.
Yeah, I mean that's, as Buster says, I mean, let's not kid ourselves on, we are massive underdogs. What I would say though is that yes, Celtic are a good side. They're far better than the likes of ourselves because they have the resources to be. And Tom Rodic, for example, I think they've got, you know, one of the best players, or the best player in Scotland. You know, so when you've got guys like Griffiths, Dembele, you know, Brown, Tierney, then yeah, it's a massive ask. But I agree, you know, this season they are gettable, they are beatable. You know, even from our own perspective, you know, we've played them already in a cup final, and you know, you just had that moment where Louis Moult's header is saved by Gordon, and then Scott Sinclair dives and gets a penalty and it's game over. You know, fine margins, even the the 2 points that we've taken from them at Firth Park. In one of those games, again, it's a dodgy last-minute penalty, and we almost became the team that actually ended their unbeaten run and instead had to settle for a point. And then, you know, again, a dodgy decision. We keep great, and we managed to grind out a draw with 10 men. So that's all positive stuff. Obviously, it'd be nice to go through the cup final without more dodgy decisions getting handed to Celtic, as seems to be the way this season. But if we can, you know, get a bit of luck in that regard, then they're certainly beatable. You know, we've shown already this season they aren't the, you know, the intimidating, undefeated, you know, invincibles from last season. They're not just a team who have been beaten this season by other sides, but we've taken points off them. We should have beaten them. I would argue that we should have beaten them, you know, the first draw against them, and that second draw against them, who knows what might have happened if Kiepre had stayed in the park. So, yep, I think we've got a lot to be confident about. It's certainly not the daunting task that it might have been last season. It's still daunting, it's still difficult, but it's by far, you know, achievable.
Yeah, absolutely. There's certainly a feeling of positivity around the place, and I think if there's ever been a group of players that will be absolutely focused and have the real belief that they can go and get a result in that cup final, it's the group of players that we've got just now.
Well, I was just going to say, actually, see the Hibs game, when Hibs beat Celtic last week or the week before, I only saw the highlights, but the way Hibs lined up, you know, the formation, and the way they appeared to have played, you know, in terms of getting out the blocks early, hassling Celtic, getting in their faces, closing them down, you know, it reminded me a lot of ourselves. You know, Hibs, I know Hibs are getting a lot of plaudits at the moment for playing good football, but the way they approached that game seemed to be very similar to the way we approach, you know, games in terms of, you know, the back three, the wing backs, and the style of play, getting you know, hassling, getting in faces, and really putting the pressure on them. So again, that's something to be positive about, because if Hibs can play that way, and it really puts Celtic, you know, in the back foot, and Hibs can grind out a result, then why can't we?
Yeah, that's it as well. I think from watching that Hibs Celtic game, Hibs were very much up and at them from the off. And I think it would be naive to suggest as well that Celtic had two or three quite big chances, forced some good saves out of Marciano, possibly weren't as clinical as they normally are. And that's what you need as well, isn't it? You need that wee element of luck. That's just how it goes. You need them to be slightly off it and for us to have a very, very good day. But stranger things have happened. And I was just thinking, listening to the radio earlier on, in a one-off game, anything can happen. You look at the FA Cup, for instance, and this fantastic Man City team, one of the best teams that the English Premier League has seen in possibly the last 20 years. But they go to Wigan in the FA Cup, a one-off game, and they lose 1-0. You can never, ever see that coming, but it's just 90 minutes. It's putting it all aside, there's always hope, and there's always a chance.
That's it. As I said, you know, you do need a wee bit of luck, particularly against a team like Celtic. You need, well, first and foremost, you need Craig Thompson not to be refereeing it.
There's a very slim possibility of that, because he had the League Cup final. You don't know.
Yeah, I know it was kind of mentioned that you perhaps weren't allowed two cup finals, but, you know, you need a referee that's going to, you know, not going to be conned by, you know, the dives of guys like Scott Sinclair, a referee who's going to judge the game on what's going on the field rather than what Brendan Rodgers has said about Ryan Bowman in the build-up. Just that kind of thing. So if you can get a strong referee, I know such a thing might not actually exist, but, you know, you need a wee bit of the rub of the green here and there. You need to avoid any kind of controversial, biased decisions in Celtic's favour. And if you can get that kind of equal team against team, that kind of fairness that you're looking for, then, you know, an off day for Celtic and every Motherwell player in the park putting in the sort of performances we saw in the semi-final, then absolutely, you know, 1-0, 2-1, nick a late winner. And you know, it's certainly doable. As I said, if we'd be playing against you know, the Celtic side of last season, it would be a much bigger task. But this Celtic team are there for the taking, and at the very least, we will, you know, by far put up a greater fight than Rangers did in the semi-final.
Yeah, but let's certainly hope so, and you can just actually feel the buzz already just talking about it. It's going to be a great occasion, and the build-up's always really special as well. It's a rare thing, Mother, in a cup final, although if you had just landed in this planet in the last 7 months, you would think it happens all the time. But as it's an occasion to be savoured, and we certainly will do that. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week. We've managed to stretch out 45 minutes of conversation when we didn't really have that much to talk about.
Nah, we've done all right. As I say, we missed last week because there was nothing to talk about, so we've done all right this week.
Yeah, a solid 5 out of 10. Well done, guys. Thank you very much.
No bother, thank you.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Tuesday with Stephen Hamill. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
This ain't the down, it's the upbeat, make it complete. So what's the story? Guaranteed accuracy, enhanced CD. Latest technology, darts at treble 20. Huge non-recoupable advance, majors be vigilant. I excel in both content and deliverance. So let's put on our classics and we'll have a little dance, shall we? No sales pitch, no media hype. No hydro, it's nice and ripe. I speak in communications in bold type. This ain't your archetypal street sound. Scan for ultrasounds, north, south, east, west and all round. And then to the underground.
You say that everything sounds the same. Then you go by them. There's no excuses, my friend. Let's push things forward. You say that everything sounds the same. Then you go by them. There's no excuses, my friend. Let's push things forward.
As we progress to the checkpoint, I wholeheartedly agree with your viewpoint, but this ain't your typical garage joint. I make points which hold significance. That ain't a bag, it's a shipment. This ain't a track, it's a movement. I got the settlement. My frequencies are transient and resonate your eardrums. I make bangers, not anthems. Leave that to the artful dodger. The broad-shouldered 51% shareholder. You won't find us on Alta Vista. Cult classic, not bestseller. You're gonna need more power. Plug in the three phase and the generator. Crank it up to the gigawatts. Critics ready with your pot shots. The plot thickens. Put on your mittens for these sub-zero conditions. But remember I'm just spitting. Remember I'm just spitting. Once bitten, forever smitten.
You say that everything sounds the same. Then you go by them. There's no excuses, my friend. Let's push things forward. You say that everything sounds the same. Then you go by them. There's no excuses, my friend. Let's push things forward.
Spit jewels like eastern riches, junkie fixes. Around here we say birds, not as London Bridge burns down, Brixton's burning up. Turns out you're in luck, so I know this dodgy f***ing the duck. So it's just another show flick from your local city poet. Case you geezers don't know it, let's push things forward. It's a tall order, but we're taller. Calling all maulers, backstreet brawlers, corner shop crawlers. Victory's flawless. Love us or hate us, but don't slate us. Don't conform to formulas. Pop genres and such. Sharp darts, double dutch. Park cars, troubles are much with more bud. Let's push things forward.
You say that everything sounds the same.